Good morning. Oh my gosh, how cute were those kids? And the choir. You were cute too. Oh my gosh, I loved it. Well, anyways, Merry Christmas. My name is Ryan Grable. I'm the lead pastor here. And if you are visiting, maybe because one of your grandchildren or nieces or nephews were singing, we want to welcome you, and we hope that you have a great experience with our service and with our community. And so, as Chad said, we'd love to have you back in a couple days for a Christmas Eve service. It really is a great service, and it's music-filled. Our amazing team does a great job of just making sure that it is a massive celebration, and we give a short sermon. So if you have somebody in mind who could use some good news this year, seeking some peace in their life, that would be a great service to bring them to, that we can introduce them to who Jesus is and the impact that he has made in this world. So a couple things real fast. We are entering into we're finishing out a series, and then once we finish today, then the series closes. And so what we did is we titled this series, it's our Advent series, but we decided to pick three main topics that we see that we can celebrate in this Advent series, especially as we seek out and celebrate the birth of Christ and really what that meant in our lives. And so we picked these three topics that we see all throughout Scripture, and it's faith, hope, and love. And so the last couple of weeks, we talked about faith and what it means to be serving a faithful God, and that we have faith in this God who is first and foremost faithful to us and did not leave us where we were at. And then we talked about hope and what it means to be able to put hope in something beyond even ourselves, hoping for something more. And so really we wanted to do is take a look at the Christmas story through the lens of these three topics. And so today we'll finish out with love. And so could you guys pray with me and we'll get started? God, we love you. We thank you so much. We thank you, God, just for even these moments like we just had, which is just watching these children sing songs to you and celebrating you. And God, thank you for us being able to experience that, experience you in worship, and experience you as we read your word today and we talk about this wonderful character that started it all that you possess, which is love. And so God, help us in this season as we're busy, as things are going on in this world, as it just seems like, you know, time is speeding up and we can't slow down, or as like tensions rise maybe even around us, God, or at the holiday table. God, I ask that you just be with us and just help us experience this very thing and be able to pass that and bring it forward to others, your love, which changes hearts, melts the hardest heart, and God changes an atmosphere in an instant. So we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, there is this great moment. We read the beginning of it last week, and I want to read the last part of it. It is where these shepherds had heard from this angel of the Lord that this Messiah is coming. You've got to go see this Messiah being born. And these guys, you have to remember, the shepherds aren't exactly the most liked people in the town. And actually, the shepherds aren't exactly the most credible people either. And so they were just kind of looked over. Nobody really paid attention to them. Their profession was constantly kind of being just seen as like, oh, the shepherds. And so it's interesting that God reveals himself to these shepherds, these people who most people wouldn't think a big word or a profound moment or a revelation would come to people like this. And here's what happened once the angel talked to them, gave them this announcement that the Messiah is coming. And then starts in verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child, letting them Mary and Joseph know, listen, we saw this, we heard this, and so we came. And verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at the shepherd, what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. You know, this is really ultimately, you'll hear that phrase, Mary, like, you know, treasured these things. Mary pondered these things. And as the mother of this child, she's going, there's something big coming here for this child. And you would see this phrase three or four times as Mary would say, wow, there's what God has said to me from the beginning before the child is coming to pass. And now others are confirming it. Something significant has happened. And it goes on to say in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and had seen, and as it had been told to them, meaning that, like, it's here. It's here. The beginning of the end of a world ruled without God's presence, a world where we are separated from God, has now come to an end. And something significant is changing. I think this is true. Jesus' birth is the greatest confirmation, right, really, that there is a faithful God, right? And that he is bringing hope and has brought hope. And that God's love for this world is boundless. That's the confirmation. The greatest confirmation of Christmas is those three things. That God is faithful to his word and he's brought hope to this world, and his love is what drove the whole thing. And I think that this Advent series, they help us prepare for that. They help prepare for Christmas because it can be chaotic at Christmas. I don't know what time Christmas starts at your house. Traditionally, when my kids were younger, right, it started at like 4:30, maybe 3, right? Now that they're teenagers, it's like, oh my gosh, 12 o'clock. That's great. You know, you think about it, like, Christmas can be very, very distracting, but this one day, we celebrate something so significant that changed this entire world and reordered things, and we're all here today because of that, and so it's important just to remember this. This last part, we talked about all these stories, the story of faith, the story of hope, and this is definitely the story of love, and this is, if you could think of one phrase of where I'm going for the whole message, it's going to be, this is love's gift to a devastated world. And this is right, Jesus is the epicenter of the beginning of hope. It's love's gift to a devastated and ruined world. When you look at the manger, Christy wants to do a manger. Are we doing a manger, Christy? Oh, you got the thumbs down again. Okay, so she doesn't get the manger. But we there's this manger. And when I think about the manger, I think like, okay, if we could see it this way, you know when you get a gift and it says to and from? You know what I'm talking about? And it's important, the to, and more important, the from. And when I see the manger, I see almost like this is from God to the world. Like, this is absolutely his gift to the entire world, and we've seen it unfold like crazy. But I think gifts are great, but the impact really of the gift is linked to the giver of the gift. And so to really appreciate the significance of the gift, you really have to link it to the giver of the gift, and it really matters. So I think knowing the giver of the gift gives context to the gift. And I don't want to leave this Christmas season until we really walk through that, because we talk a lot about like this gift, the Christ, the Messiah, the baby, the manger, but really we got to go back a little bit and really look at the giver. And I think that will help us appreciate the gift maybe just a little bit more today as we leave. On my 40th birthday, I know a lot of you are like, wow, that guy's like 20. Yeah, I know, shocking. And so on my 40th birthday, we were at Panera Bread, and Anna was like, I got you a gift. And I was like, you don't have to get me a gift. The gift is that I'm not dead. This is great. And so like it's just this whole like, you know, thing of like as you get older, you don't want that stuff. And Anna gave me this gift, and I opened it, and I was like, it was a watch. And she knows I love watches, like love watches. I would always look at watches and be like, oh my gosh, have you seen that? Well, I love this watch. But there were just watches that were just like, you know, I wasn't going to buy this watch. I just liked looking at the watch and imagining me wearing the watch and be like, now that's a powerful man. You know what I mean? And so I just love these watches. And appreciate them greatly. And so Anna gave me this gift, and I opened it up, and she's like, I got you this watch. And I was like, this is exactly the watch that I would want. And it was like a big moment for me, right? I mean, I was like, You don't have to do this. You should take this back. And she's like, I want you to have this watch. It meant so much because it came from Anna, because she knows me so well, and she knew what that would mean to me. And when, if someone else had given me the watch, it'd be great, but that's a watch that I'll keep with me and I would want to like give to my kids because it has significance to it to me. Where another watch would be like, great, but if I broke it, it'd be like, well, maybe I'll find another one. This one become precious to me. And so because of the giver that it came from. And she does this amazing thing where on our birthdays, and so you should have a birthday at my household. Anna knows what everybody's favorite candy is, which is the biggest birthday gift. And so I get Reese's peanut butter cups and red vines. I mean, who wouldn't want that for breakfast? And so she knows exactly what we want. And it's just that we know that she knows, and it means so much more. The giver matters when we get the gift. And as we celebrate Christmas and we think about Jesus, we need to know what that was all about and whom it came from. You know, I do think that gifts do depend on the person. Maybe let me give you some scenarios so it matters, because not all gifts are equal depending on who they come from. Let's say you open a present, and this is, I feel like, where the giver matters, who given it to you, like, and you get a pair of running shoes. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, it depends on who they're coming from. It depends on how insulted you should be when you open the gift and you're like, oh, running shoes. What are you trying to say, right? You know what I mean? And so it matters who gives the gift, right? How about a planner? Your boss is like, hey, I thought you'd really appreciate this planner. We could see you in our work on time and making meetings. You know, it really matters who gives you the gift in order on how to interpret the gift. How about from your father-in-law, right? Car washing supplies for Christmas. Nothing says, wow, I'm a loser son-in-law until you get those supplies and he just knows that you love washing cars. Or how about a self-help book on Christmas when you get the gift and you open it up and you're like, oh, how to battle depression. I didn't know I was depressed. You know what I mean? You don't know how to interpret it. It depends on who it's coming from, right? Or how to get yourself out of the gutter and get past loserdom. You don't want this book unless you maybe know who it's coming from. I think the context really matters. Lastly, it's important to know who the giver is when you receive the gift of deodorant. That matters a lot. It can be highly offensive or very, very useful and appreciative. The giver is what sets the context for the gift. And if you know the heart of the giver, then the gift becomes greater and greater. If Jesus is the greatest gift of love, we should definitely examine the giver. So let's just do this. We're going to go on one point, and we're going to talk about four things underneath this point that I think are worth examining about God and his love. And so the first thing we're talking about this whole time is God's love story. If you want to know what his love story and what love is to him, we're going to talk about his love story. God's love is definitely expressed as a parent's love for a child. That's very clear throughout Scripture. Jesus' relationship with God is from a child to a parent. When God speaks to us, we are his beloved children. Right? So God has established the value. If we can get as close to how he feels about us is the love of a parent for a child, then we're getting closer to what love is to God and how he views us. Look at this passage in 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. That's the kind of love that God has for us, is that we are seen and are his kids. That's the type of love that you have for you. And that's the type of love that Christ came to bring the day he arrived. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst. This is another way of talking about God's love, almost as his parental way. And a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you. Does this not sound like a parent? With gladness, he will quiet you with his love. He will exalt you over with loud singing. Is that not a proud parent? You know what I mean? It's like, good job, Jimmy. Nice shot. It's just like that. And you're like, he didn't even hit the rim. It doesn't matter, right? It's this loud rejoicing, this love for his child, right? And he'll quiet you with his love. It feels very parental, his love, which maybe if you're a parent or if you think about your parents' love for you, especially if you've strayed far, a parent's love is like ridiculous. And you think about that, it should give you comfort to know the type of God who is pursuing and loves you. God, I think God's love is reckless. I think it's relentless. I think it's definitely relieving and it's reliable. It's a reliable parental love. It's that love that just sticks around and you come back knocking at the door a few years later and they're like, come on in, I've missed you. It's that type of love where others might slam the door in your face. I don't want to make an extreme example here, but maybe I'll go here first and then we'll go to maybe what feels more normal. But I would feel like when I think about God's love, and if I can imagine it to a type of movie in my child, I think of it very much like Liam Neeson in Taken. You know what I mean? Right? Imagine you in the scenario. You're just like, you know, I'll learn how to do all of those things that will get my child back. I will do those things relentlessly and recklessly. That's the love of a parent. But let's go maybe more to normal, which is like on the playground. This is where it all goes down, on the playground. And you see some other kid pushing your kid around, and you're just like, okay, A, I cannot touch that child. Remind myself, do not do anything to that child. B is like, but don't guard my child so much that they can't handle themselves. So let's see how this turns out. You ever been there? Parents! And then you're thinking, where is that parent? Where is the parent? Oh, I see why that kid's doing that. I see exactly, right? You know what I'm saying? We're not quite taken, but we're definitely very protective and we are guarded and we are just ready to pounce. I'm telling you, if you've ever doubted or wondered if God can follow you to the places that you've gone or possibly will go, do not forget that he will go. He's relentless. He's reckless, like a parental love. You cannot stop him. The other thing about God's love, his love story, if we want to think about it, you got to think about this, which is God's love is unending and impossible to lose. It's unending and you cannot lose it. You cannot escape it, the Bible says. It's impossible, the Bible says. I love this poem I found. It's really, really good. And I'll have it up on the screens, but it's called Love Can. And it's talking about this love God has and what his ability is. And it says this, love can surely rescue a heart in deep despair, a heart that has given up and no longer feels God's near. Love can breathe new meaning where there's nothing left inside, when there's no feeling or emotion, just dryness in our lives. Love can restore new hope after it's withered and died, for hope is what we will get, what will get us through. And love can be its guide. Love can run and embrace the prodigal returning home and the one that has come to the end, those hurts lost and alone. For God's love is the answer to our broken, empty lives. As we come with an open heart, he can dispel all the hurt and sighing. And he will heal our brokenness. And lovingly he will bind the wounds that have left us scarred and bringing soundness to our minds. So give it over to God's love, our lives and all that we are. Then we will know and walk in his love, for his love shall dwell in our hearts. I love this poem because it does describe this relentless love God has. And this impossible escape from his love, it's not possible. When we're thinking about the love that compelled Christ, you have to know the very heart of the giver. Romans 8:39, and it says this at the tail end of this beautiful passage, but it says this, nor anything, it's describing all these things that can't separate you from God. It says, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, no matter how far we run. I hope this is good news for some of us at Christmas. I hope this puts Jesus in perspective as why he was born, died, and resurrected. is because there's this relentless love that is after your heart. Ephesians 3:17, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. They'll grow down. And love seems to be this source of life. Your roots grow down, they root us, they strengthen us in God's love, and they keep us. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. I love that passage. It's unending. It's impossible to understand fully, but it's unbreakable, it seems, is his love. I think his love began before this world. His love was made this world, and his love rests in this world. His love permeates this world. We're here because of love. We were created because of love. We were saved because of love. I think you cannot hide from it, and nor can his love be hidden from you. It's just there. The other thing about God's love story is that God is love itself. To know God is to know love. Now, there's these really great passages that are really challenging to us as believers, but they're also revealing to who God is, to the very core of his nature. 1 John, it says this in 4:16. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. If we could slow down for a second. We know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And that's a tricky sentence, but there's a lot there. You know, for a believer, as a representative of Jesus, love must be a core part of who we are. If God is love, then we have to represent that core part within us as well. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love doesn't know God, because God is love. If you don't love, you might not know God. Now, I know love has a lot of definitions, but there's this type of love that we can at least follow in Jesus' footsteps that he displayed, so that helps us get a little context there. Because sometimes it is just the type of love that maybe we define as to just everybody should have that love, but there's a godly love that we can follow in the footsteps of Jesus and really learn that type of love. But I'll tell you this, God's heartbeat is love, hands down. His heartbeat is love. There's no scripture that can tell me anything different than that. You can't find one. He is love. It's who he is. Everything comes from that. The last thing is this, is God's love pursues where others may have turned back. I felt like that once. I felt like I had, my parents, I knew my parents would be there, but I doubted whether they would. You know what I mean? When I was younger and I was very, very, very wild and rebellious. I remember just thinking at one point, they're never going to take me back. And I was wrong, thankfully, but I had the doubt of it. But I felt like, you know, at that time, this no one was willing to go as far down into the depths to grab me. But I think what we see is that God will go further than anyone else will go. When others have turned back for the search for your heart, God will continue to pursue, relentlessly pursue. And I think it's like one of those things that he has the long game. He knows exactly who you are, and he will never stop pursuing you, ever, ever, ever. Romans 5:8 says this, but God proves his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm not going to lie. Isn't it really easy to be nice to people who are nice? Is it not difficult to be nice to people who are, what did it say here? Oh yeah, sinners? Is it not hard to be nice to people who are just not, like, don't like you? Maybe even feel like they do things just to harm you. It's hard to be nice like that. It's so much easier when people are just like, thank you so much. You're like, oh, I love you. We love each other. We're givers. It's when someone does not, when they're in a place where you feel like they don't deserve it, and we reach across and go, listen, I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. which is kindness and grace or mercy. I'm telling you, that is a godly type of love. Now, there's wisdom around all of that. I don't think you should jump into every situation, but I do think that heart of God to pursue where others will turn back is literally our heart as well. And so, I love this last verse. Shouldn't say that. There's one more verse. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. It says, but God, being rich in mercy. Now, listen to the language. Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Jesus. By grace, you have been saved. So guess where it all starts? It starts with love. It moves to mercy. It's expressed in grace. And then it's to forgiveness. And then it's to reconciliation, salvation. But it all begins at love here in this passage. And so we can see exactly. I totally understand why Jesus' path was Jesus' path. It began with love. It walked through mercy, through grace, through forgiveness, right to reconciliation. And that's to us. Love is a very powerful thing, and God's story of love is unstoppable. I think God's love is definitely what gives the hearts of mercy, grace, compassion, kindness, forgiveness in this very cold world. That's how a Christian's equipped, with kindness, compassion, mercy, love, right? It will warm a cold world. And I'm not going to lie, the world needs a little bit of warmth right now. Wouldn't you say that? The other day, I wasn't so warm. I'm just going to, it's my last confession and I'll close, okay? I was riding my bike, me and Anna. We were taking a night ride, looking at all the lights. And I ride my bike a lot on the road, so I have a general idea of road rules, you know what I mean? And I'm very aware of road rage. And so I know my rights as a citizen. When there's not a bike lane, I have the right to be in the lane. And so I'm riding, and this person, this very special person, got up behind me and started honking the horn at me while I'm just riding, looking at the Christmas trees and lights. And so I was riding, and then I gave in to temptation. I stopped, and I was like, I have the right of way here. And she was like, your reflectors aren't bright enough. And I was like, you have lights. I don't. And so we're getting back and forth, and we're going, and then, you know, next thing you know, we're wishing each other Merry Christmas, of course. And I was just like, you know, I wasn't having it at that time. And, you know, she drove off, and then I waved with all fingers. And so, and then I noticed she wasn't from here. So then instantly it was like, well, she doesn't know then. Okay. So the thing is then that moment, there could have been a moment, and I did fail. Like, clearly, she wanted to take some stress out on me, this poor little innocent biker who just wants to celebrate Jesus through these lights. And I could have walked in it. And so, yes, you will sometimes add to a cold world. And my hope is for myself, and I think for our church, is that anytime we have an opportunity to warm a world or bring light into darkness, is that through this very thing, love, if I continually access God's love, like Romans 5:5 says, he pours his love out into our heart, and want to model life like Jesus, I might have a different interaction that could warm this world just a little bit more. I want to close with this verse, 1 John 4:9. It says, this is how God's love was revealed among us. God sent his one and only son into this world so that we might live through him. Christmas is definitely a gift. It's a gift of new life if we decide to open it. It's a gift. We just have to open it. And I think when we do, we'll clearly see how expansive, how vast God's love is for us. I think what the shepherds saw that day and they looked upon that child, it was definitely the same very promise of a gift that you have today, which is the gift that God's love is boundless, creative, unique. It will catch you off guard how good it is. and it will sustain you, and it's worth celebrating over, and it's worth bringing glory to God over. I think our eyes, right, our eyes have seen the very same gift in our salvation, that gift of love. Tell me if this verse is not what you see when you see Jesus as this child in this manger, and you think about his life, and you ponder it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. I'm going to run out of fingers. It is not proud. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love will not fail you. Yeah. When I think about the legacy of Jesus's life, this is very much who he was. He walked in love. He died in love. He rose in love. He actually came here in love. And I would say this, as maybe I can leave you with this thought, is may you be reminded of love this Christmas. May that warm your heart, that you are so dearly and deeply loved. May you experience the life it gives, which is love. And ultimately, may you give this very love that you possess away to a world that needs it so desperately as you did. And I will say that this is definitely love is the legacy of God's story to his people. If I can encourage you to do one thing as you leave today, as you walk out and his life is just about ready to start, is just for 1 second, take a moment and just reflect on the very love that you have experienced from God to you. That love that is relentless, it's that parental love. You feel like, God, why are you still with me? Just take a moment and go back and just reflect about the moments where God's been there when you felt like he wasn't there, or you've left him, or maybe you even just said, I don't want anything to do with you, and God's like, too late, I'm your parent, you know, I'm there. I want you to reflect back on that love. That's one thing to do, because I think that recharges you to be able to do the second thing, which is then in moments like I failed, and I hope to be better this week, where there's an opportunity to give love to where it doesn't feel like it's deserved, to extend and do the very thing that Jesus did. That's how we know God's love. The Bible says that God sent his son to die for people who were sinners and didn't even deserve it. How can I, or how can we, not do the very same thing with the love we've received? Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much. And God, we celebrate you this Christmas, God. We celebrate you and your faithfulness, the hope you've given us, and the very love that you've poured deeply into our hearts and displayed to us. I ask that you just be with each and every one of us, God. And maybe those two things, God, maybe we have a moment today where we just carve out a few minutes. But in that reflection time, God, I ask that you just really fill our hearts to know that we are deeply loved. It doesn't matter if we feel like no one loves us. We have a Father in heaven who would give and has given everything for our heart. So God, I just pray for any person here who maybe feels that way, that you be with them in this time. Christmas can feel lonely, or we can feel completely fulfilled. But God, for all of us, help us feel fulfilled by you. Lonely or not. And God, I just ask also that as we go, as we always take on this mantle of ambassador, God, that first and foremost, where it all began, just like it begins with you, all comes from love. God, help that direct our steps, the very way that Jesus walked and the impact that Jesus had. And God, ultimately, at the end of the day, to those who do not, in our mind, feel like deserve it, but also those who can never repay us, God. That is very Christ-like, and we want to be just like that. Help us in the moments where it's a struggle. We love you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you guys stand with me and sing this last song with me?